previously on the first Worcester report on the 22nd of February 2018, Dr. Mella Davis. And here we are, almost 2 years later, and she's back in the hot seat. And I'm so delighted. I couldn't believe it was that long, but that's as long as we've been running these programs now, folk. And during those 2 years, Mella, you've been my school principal, and I've taught science and music, and Laurie-Anne has taught art in your school, and it's been really good experience, and we've had a lot of fun doing that. And so welcome to CWCP Radio.
I'm really pleased to be back. Thank you.
I don't know if you remember, but on that first program, also interviewed Umpo and Kanyo.
Oh, yes. Oh.
And I may just put a little bit of that into this program as well.
Oh, that would be sweet, yeah.
Anyway, this is big news. This month, you're planning to reboot Masterpiece Academy with a different flavor. Tell us about the new Masterpiece Academy.
Well, the Lord has really birthed in my heart a unique approach to doing school. A Masterpiece Academy will be known as Masterpiece Academy and Resource Center, and with a view to helping parents, teachers, or anyone who is wanting to learn or teach children to learn more effectively. What I felt was that we were able to help a small number of children. At its greatest attendance, Masterpiece only had 7 children. And that allowed for us to really be one-on-one and give quality attention. But I felt that the Lord wanted there to be a greater impact, which could only happen if parents and teachers and caregivers were taught how to teach. That would then multiply the reach of Masterpiece Academy. And I could see that the Lord was blessing this endeavor. Osborne Books sent us probably the equivalent of over $1,000 worth of resources. And I chose the books based on everything I'd seen in the last 3 years of running Masterpiece Academy, where the children struggled, whether it was with telling time or being able to remember multiplication tables, if they struggled with handwriting, wherever I saw a gap. This is the type of materials that I requested from Osborne Books, and they kindly sent those things here to South Africa. And the Lord then laid, in addition on my heart, literacy. Inevitably, we all encounter a period of time in our academic careers, so to speak, where we have teachers who just, for whatever reason, due to illness or a lack of morale, they don't teach or can't teach. Then what does a child do? Well, unfortunately, this is the circumstance faced by many students today in South Africa. But if a child can read, you can teach yourself anything. You can teach yourself science. You can teach yourself astronomy. You can teach yourself chemistry, any type of science. And the key becomes you unlock your own potential. One might be gifted in mathematics, but that natural inclination or ability will remain untapped because one cannot read. But if you can read, you can unlock any material or subject matter that you have an interest in. And so that is at the heart of the new part of the program that's called LIT, Literacy, Intervention, and Training. And the Lord's favor is on us. This Saturday, I met with the Cape Town director of Learn to Read. And we're actually going to be working together. It was divine alignment, perfect timing. The organization has over 100 volunteers, over 60 professionally trained tutors. And they're based in Cape Town and Joburg. And they're now coming to Worcester. Yes. They've chosen 3 schools already to start their pilot program. And they focus on students that are in the middle, not the high-performing students that get 5 to 7, or the low-performing students, which is where we were at. We were getting all the students who required remediation, but they're dealing with the students that fall in the middle. The program requires that a teacher choose a student to participate, and it's a pull-out program. Twice a week, the students are pulled out, and they are given reading skills, improvement and enhancement strategies. So again, this was just, again, another example of the Lord saying, you're on the right track. This is the way, walk in it. So the vision for Masterpiece Resource Center is to be an open place where kids can come and read. So my plan is to take all of these books, as well as any books that are donated, such as classic children's literature, Anne of Green Gables, Pippi Longstocking, that kind of thing, and have readily accessible to the kids to just read. And I am starting a Read Aloud program with Bolyland Creche. I've gone across the street, and it's still in the formation stages, but it's my goal to pull kids ages 3 to 5 once a week and read to them for about 20 or 30 minutes. And then to try to encourage parents to also read aloud to their children. I was shocked to learn that there was something called the Read Aloud Revolution. I never realized people stopped reading to their children. But obviously, with the books and everything that have come out, yes, people have stopped reading. And of course, all of the research shows that a child that is being read to and is reading progresses much further than a child who cannot read. And I've been astonished that I have seen children age 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, who simply cannot read or not reading on level. Those who read write well. You have a more fluent vocabulary, which then opens up other doors. So the goal is to begin this process of reading to the children and then impart that same kind of strategy at home, which leads to the other part of what's happening at Masterpiece. So as the Lord has given me this vision for literacy intervention, He also gave me the ability to write, and I started writing stories again. And so it's my heart also to work with other organizations. I've been contacting them, EduFunzie, Room to Read. There are various organizations that look at getting literature in the native tongue to children. So my goal is to write Bible-centered, God-centered children's books, and then have these texts translated into Xhosa, Zulu, and then distributed by these various organizations. So that's one part of the new thing that's happening, this real emphasis on reading, on getting strategies for reading in the home. The other half of it is empowering caregivers, teachers, and the students themselves to teach themselves or to teach others. Just because one has a desire to teach doesn't mean one can do it. Okay, I know Oscar Wilde said that those who can do and those who don't teach, but that is inaccurate. Because according to 2 Corinthians, teaching is one of the fivefold ministry gifts. And if Holy Spirit doesn't anoint you to do it, my friend, you can't do it. So that being said, what we can do is say, Lord, facilitate through me. Okay, I don't feel that I'm anointed to teach. Let's say that's what a parent is saying. But you already have that position of authority. And if you're a parent, you have the command, because God told the Israelites, teach your children when they're walking in the way, when they stand up, when you sit down, you need to talk to them. That kind of interaction needs to happen. What has happened generally is that the parent drops the child at the schoolhouse and they expect that the 6 hours that the child is at school, everything that the child needs to learn is being dealt with by the teacher. That's simply not the case. It just simply cannot happen. Most schools are overcrowded. Even if they aren't overcrowded, you're going to have discipline issues. If you don't have discipline issues, you're going to have remediation problems. Not every child is going to be on the same level. Given these factors, it is almost impossible for a teacher to cover the material that needs to be taught. Especially, remember, if your child has started at school at the age of 6, we've had some pupils, which you can testify to, who didn't even know how to hold a pencil. By the time you teach them to hold a pencil, to recognize their alphabet, all things that should be part of school readiness to begin with, they're even further behind. They've already lost a year or two because most, in American schools, you can go to school at 3 or 4, at least half day. And you definitely have to be at school by the age 5. So if you actually start at age 6, you've already lost 2 years. And then if you start and you're not school ready, you're even further behind. Because no one really has the time to teach you to recognize the alphabet, how to write your name, how to count, where do you live. I remember having students, I love them dearly, but had to say, you live in the city of Worcester, in the province of the Western Cape, in the country of South Africa, in the continent of Africa. And keep drilling that. Where when I went to school, I already knew I lived in the United States. I lived in the city of Rosenberg. I could tell you my phone number. I knew my house address. I could spell my name. That was considered part of school readiness. So part of my hope, I know I would love to be able to teach every child. I'm one person. You're one person. We can't do it. But if we can empower people and say, listen, especially like with Bully Line Crest, they've got 90 kids that are not in school yet. Then I can say to the parents, in addition to reading to your children, before your kids make it to first grade, they need to be able to spell their names. They need to know what their phone numbers are. They need to know where they live. They need to be able to count from 1 to 10. They should know the alphabet. Don't imagine that the teacher is going to be able to do that. You need to do it. So we're talking about a revolution of parents taking responsibility. And then also the child, because sometimes there aren't parents in the household. Then if you can read, if I can show you a strategy to read and get you reading, then you teach yourself anything. If the teachers go on strike, that's not your problem. You got your textbook, go right ahead. That is what we're looking for, where people begin to take responsibility for their own learning, where not the parent or the student puts the onus on a teacher to do something. God, we want them to do it, but just in case you don't, I'm not going to be behind the eight ball because I can read. And so that's our heart. So what we're also offering is a different way of doing school, because we have two groups that fall into the crack. If you need remediation, forget it. You're out of luck. And if you're actually quite gifted, you're also out of luck. It takes too much to remediate, and then people think the smart ones will get it on their own. They're out of luck as well. What Masterpiece Resource Center then offers is something for the inquisitive child. Have you ever wanted to know how to do science labs? That's one of the beautiful things about the science program that Dr. Wiley created. Every lesson, there's a lab to show you how it works, which doesn't happen typically in the classrooms here. Then you can come. And we can show you how to do the labs. We can show you how to understand science, and you empower yourself. Do you have a love of languages? Then I can show you the way the Lord taught me how to learn languages, at least the Romance languages. Do you want to write? You have a gifting in writing. We can help you with that. Or we can help your parent help you with that. And then the goal is that it's exponential. Then we train people how to do science, and then they go on and train others. And then I talked to you about this cooperative method of doing school, which has been in place in the United States for years. Parents who've wanted to do school differently have banded together. And then they would say, well, we would like our children to have drama, but none of us have any drama or theatrical training. Why don't we pull our financial resources together and pay someone to teach us drama? And this is what we're trying to do at Masterpiece. We have been blessed for the last few years to have Nikki Robbie of Play Kids teaching drama. She not only does elocution, but she also deals with fine and gross motor skills, core development of the body. She's just excellent. But not everybody is able to have Nikki come and teach their child individually. She's willing to teach a group of five students to get the same quality instruction she gave to Masterpiece Academy students to somebody else's child, or even 10, or even 15, or 20. Then the price dramatically decreases when you band together. You don't know how to teach science? Come to Masterpiece. Then we have our wonderful science teacher, Mr. Tony Koppel, can show you how to teach science. And then we keep that ball rolling. And we band together so that everybody gets a quality education, not a select few. Because really, every child has the right to read and the right to learn. If a child cannot read and is not being taught, then they're being cheated. And that really is not fair. So with this idea, Masterpiece Resource Center runs almost like a university of sorts. If enough people say that they're interested in a course, we'll offer it. If somebody's interested in rhetoric, we'll offer it. We've got Abacus. Enough people say that they want to know how to do math in their head without counting on their fingers, we offer it.
Now, are you talking there about offering a course to the homeschooling parent or to the children?
Both things are available. Abacus, the drama, those courses are geared directly toward the students. But we also have a part of the program which is directed toward the parent. We are being blessed. Rachel and Andrew from England are coming back in April for the express purpose of helping parents be able to help their children to do homework, to understand what's going on in the classroom. So we're going to have the dual aim. We're open to providing courses for children who want a greater sense of responsibility for their learning and want to grow in taking responsibility for learning different subject matters perhaps they haven't been exposed to or have weaknesses. But we're also saying to parents and administrators and teachers, if you don't know how to teach this lesson, give us a call. We'll help you. If you have a classroom that nobody seems to want to read a book, give us a call. We'll help you. If you're struggling with getting students to be able to write essays, give us a call. We'll help you. I remember going into a junior high and the assignment, I was substitute teaching that day, and the assignment that the teacher had left were for the students to write short paragraphs. And I remember one child using the number 4 and drawing pictures instead of writing words. I was like, what is this? He's like, it's my essay. I'm like, no, you can't use the number 4 for the word for. You can't use an ampersand for the word and. This is not writing. So even in the States, you have this kind of disconnect. If somebody doesn't stop and say, sweetie, this is not how you compose an essay. This is how you compose an essay. It requires a thesis statement. You must have something that draws the attention. You must have something that ends, a concluding statement. These are simple ideas that people who have been taught well take for granted. But these are things that can be taught, and it will make a huge impact on people's test scores. That's one of the things I've tried to tell. I've been invited to come to various schools here in Worcester. And I've told people, at the end of the day, the state is only interested in one thing. That's success. They don't care how you got it. Obviously, you can't cheat and take the test for the children. That's not what I'm saying. They don't care how you get there, as long as it's not illegal. They're interested in the final result. And that's what I saw in the classroom with myself. I would make my students write and write and write, and they would get irritated. In fact, they would say to me, you know, Dr. Davis, we're doing more work than anybody else in this school who is in the same grade and the same level. And one year I agreed with them, and I went down to talk to Dr. Fondon. I said, Dr. Fondon, is there any way that these kids who are just on a general level can be given honors credit? Because, I mean, I have worked them. And she said, no, Dr. Davis, there's a certain PEAMS number and that can't be changed. So I knew that I was requiring more of them than other people. But in the end, I had students come back to say to me, I would have lost my football scholarship if you hadn't taught me to write. Other people failed English, freshman English, But I passed and I kept my scholarship. I was mad because you made me write it, but I am glad. So the demand for excellence, I think when teachers see that a group of students or a group of parents are saying, come up higher, we want our children to learn more, we want our children to go up higher, then you're going to get excellence. You get what you expect. I expected excellence. I got excellence. My students always outperformed what their levels were. We can do the same thing here. In this case, we're asking administrators, teachers, and parents to come up higher. I know you've worked a long day. I know you may be tired, but pick up the phone or send an email and say, can you come and teach me? Can you help me? And then when there is an atmosphere of excellence, everything gets better. When there is an atmosphere or of mediocrity, that is what you get. But when there's an atmosphere of excellence and a desire for excellence, everybody rises up higher.
Now, imagine the comparison, therefore, between what has happened in the past in Masterpiece, where we've had 5 days a week school, regular hours, into this transition. Is this future Masterpiece going to operate courses on an ad hoc basis when there's a particular demand from a group of parents, either for themselves or for their children? And then you will set up a course for that particular purpose. Is that the idea?
That is exactly the idea. The Masterpiece will no longer be running from 7-something in the morning to 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Monday through Fridays, January through December, like a regular school. Instead, what will happen is there's a list of courses that are available for people to take. And then when there are enough students, then the classes will meet. So if there are 5 students, then we will have a drama. If there's, 5 students, we'll have abacus. That's kind of the cap that I put on it. We want to be able to give students quality attention and also use and reserve our energy so that it is basically not, for lack of a better word, wasted. So if we've got 5 parents who decide they want to be able to teach science, that's great. We'll do it for whoever wants to learn. Because it was a real blessing to be able to teach the children day by day, but there was no opportunity for growth in terms of being able to share the kind of quality instruction that we were giving to those 5 or 6 or 7 students. Now we can share it with 5 teachers or 5 administrators or 5 parents. And let's say that parent has 3 kids. Already we've begun to multiply the impact of the vision that we have for quality education for everybody. And a part of that is also the reading program. There'll be hours in which the building will be open and we have a library and people can come in and sit and read, either read to their own children or a child can read himself. I've always operated a library, but I've only operated it for my girls from Avian Park.
Now, in the States where you come from, homeschooling is producing remarkable results. I mean, they are beating out the conventionally taught children. I don't know if that's the case in Worcester, but I do know there are quite a lot of homeschooling parents here who are attempting to do everything themselves. They will teach every subject. That, from what you're telling me, that's not the way to go.
No, it is not. It is not. First of all, you're going to burn yourself out. Even with me, and I mean, I hold multiple degrees, and I got to the place where whenever I could take something off of my plate, I took it off. I'm fluent in French, but when Priscille Farr was here, I didn't teach French. I could teach Spanish. I got rid of it. Whatever I could take something off, just because you can do something doesn't mean that you should. It was much better for me to do social studies and English. Concentrate on those two, leave math to Janie Deventer or Renelle and Chantal with Abacus. It was, I didn't touch science. Do what you do well. And I would say that to what is it that you enjoy? Because you want the child to have a positive experience while you're teaching him or her. So it's best to teach what you enjoy teaching and leave the rest to someone else. That way the child does not associate bad feelings and learning with you. That's not good. So, I mean, I always try to do those things and only those things that gave me joy, that put a smile on my face, and then leave the rest to somebody else. You know, technically, I could have done drama. You know, I have a degree in performance studies. Forget it. I was happy and pleased with Nikki. I was like, please knock yourself out. So I would really suggest no more than 3 subjects and probably keep it to 2. Get together with a group of people and then start farming some of this stuff out.
Now that implies that hopefully there are people in Worcester who have the skills to do the teaching in specific subjects. And part of what your vision must be is to network with these people and to bring them in as needed.
Yes, that's the beauty of Teachers of the Nations, because we get people who come in and just ask to teach. Krista and Craig McLaughlin have come in every 2 years and taught music in the summer. You know, I've got another lady coming from Canada in about 3 months. So we get people. Rachel was also a teacher. We get people. Elcha DeHaan taught for us for a while, also a certified teacher. So we get people just on the basis of the organization, Teachers of the Nations, that are qualified to teach. And the beauty then in that is that someone can come along and help. Tanya, who came twice and helped us, also a certified teacher, which allowed us then to give a lot of one-on-one service to our students. So what would need to happen here is that as people come in and they say, hey, we would like to teach, then generally you are here for about 90 days. That's the general amount that people get a visa for a visitor's visa. Then we would say, for these 3 months, wow, we've got somebody who's come from Greece. Is there anybody here who would like to learn Greek or Latin or whatever? Then we could offer those kind of specialized classes that you wouldn't ordinarily get. You've got your degree from Cambridge in engineering. Okay, so now we've got somebody here who can do these experiments, who can teach science. So we would definitely use the connections that come through Teachers of the Nations and also come through YWAM. People come to YWAM and they're looking for opportunities to teach. Let me just stop here for a minute. Tutoring and teaching are not the same things. Okay? They're looking for opportunities to teach. And then when they say that, then immediately the person who organizes and coordinates outside ministry, who is also does music with our girls, Christine Runrick, she'll say, well, have you thought of Teachers of the Nations? Have you thought of Masterpiece Academy? And then we're able to pull people in for the seasons that they're here. Now, if they're here with YWAM, they might be here for 3 years. So it could be a long-term thing. But the shortest term that you're looking at is probably a 3-month period. And people can come in and teach. And that's an opportunity for people to give to the community. Because this is not a money-making racket. I mean, you know, because you've been with us almost since the beginning, Masterpiece never turned a profit. It was never about turning a profit. It was about helping remediate and get students back on level so that they could be successful. So getting people into the community is really important. It's very easy to get stuck on the base and not really know what Worcester is about. But most of our children came from Zola Temba, the Black Township. We had some from Abian Park, some from Riverview. So you get a nice flavor about what Worcester is about and the people are like. Yeah.
Maybe there's somebody, or lots of people hopefully, listening to this, either live or later, and they say, oh, she's talking to me. I've got those skills. What do they do next? How do they get in touch?
Well, the nicest thing, easiest thing to do is go to Facebook, and you can link with us at Teachers of the Nations, or you can link with us at Masterpiece Academy. Drop me a note. Tell me of your interest, what the subject matters that you teach, and how long you're able to stay. And then we go from there.
And Masterpiece, of course, is like, as in war and peace, not in bits and pieces.
Yes, so. P-E-A-C-E, because the master of peace is Jesus, and it's his academy, it's his school, it's his way of doing things. And yes, we welcome everyone. We've had some people who've come who have been struggling with their faith, but from the outset, we must let anybody who comes know Jesus is at the center of all that we do, and that he begins and ends everything.
What a good place to end this interview. Thank you, Mela, so much. I wish I could say that I'll see you again in 2 years, but we won't be here that long.
Yeah, but we thank you for all that you and Lorianne have done, and only the Lord can repay you. I saw one of the parents, and she was saying that Kanyo and Umpo, she was saying that they still talk about you. And so, yes, your reward is in heaven, and your legacy lives on.
Well, I'm very excited to hear about the new Masterpiece Academy. It's great. Let's get the word out.
Thank you so much.